Now we read in chapter 11, verse 1, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites." Now, this man, Solomon, is actually patterning after his father David in this connection. It's too bad he didn't pattern after him in other connections, but he did in this. And we find that this man, he'd been brought up in the king's palace. He was sort of an effeminate type individual. He was not accustomed to that which is rough and rugged, as David his father was. And now this fellow begins to gather in women, just as somebody else might have a hobby of gathering antique automobiles or something else. Solomon's gathering women from all nationalities. Now these turned the head of Solomon and caused him to go into idolatry and to permit idolatry in the land. And he's absolutely breaking over God's prescribed law at this particular point. And we're told here that verse 2, and I should read it, "Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love." Now, you can well understand that I think this is the one place in the Scripture that you could change love to sex. That was the motive of Solomon. Solomon had been raised in the women's palace. He had never known anything rough outside or manly, and so he spent his time here gathering women. He was accustomed to be in their company. He was a dandy. He would correspond to a great many we have in our day. Now, God is going to have to deal with him in this connection. Now, don't tell me the Lord approved of this man. He didn't. Verse 9, "And the Lord was angry with Solomon." Now, let's be fair with the Word of God. There are those that say, oh, look, God permitted Solomon to have 1,000 wives. He did not. The Lord was angry with Solomon. The record says he had that many because that was accurate. That's history. But the attitude of God toward it is revealed here. The Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice, and had commanded him concerning this thing, that he should not go after other gods, but he kept not that which the Lord commanded. Wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon," now listen to this, "For as much as this is done of thee, and thou hast not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded thee, I will surely rend the kingdom from thee, and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding, in thy days I'll not do it, for David thy father's sake. But I will rend it out of the hand of thy son. Howbeit, I'll not rend it away all the kingdom, but will give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen." Now that one tribe, I would say, is Benjamin, because he was a member of the tribe of Judah, and that tribe naturally would be with him. So there were two tribes that were in the division that went with the family of David, and the other 10 in the north went with Jeroboam. Now we're introduced to Jeroboam, and we find out that was at this time that toward the end of his reign, that God begins to stir up trouble for this man. Because God has said, "There's no peace, saith my God, to the wicked," and this man has enjoyed peace. And so we read in verse 14, "The Lord stirred up an adversary unto Solomon, Hadad the Edomite." He was the king's seed in Edom. Now we find out that there is warfare. Now in verse 26, we're introduced to Jeroboam. "And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephrathite of Zereda, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lifted up his hand against the king." And this was the cause that he lifted up his hand against the king. Solomon built Milo and repaired the breaches of the city of David, his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. In other words, Solomon saw that this young man was outstanding, although he was a son of a servant. He lifted him up and elevated him to a high position. And it came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah, the Shilonite, found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. Now let me just say what took place. Ahijah, the prophet, took that new garment, tore it in 12 pieces, and gave 10 of them to this boy Jeroboam, and said, God is going to give you 10 tribes. Because of the sin of Solomon, why, the kingdom will be divided. But because of David, why, two of the tribes will stay with the family of David. Now, notice what we have here, verse 41. We come now to the end of the reign of Solomon. By the way, when Solomon discovered what this boy Jeroboam was doing, why, he sought to get him, apprehend him, and to kill him. And we're told, and Jeroboam arose, fled to Egypt under Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Now we read in the rest of the acts of Solomon and all that he did and his wisdom. Are they not written in the book of the acts of Solomon? And we'll see that again when we come to 1st and 2nd Chronicles. Now verse 42. And the time that Solomon reigned in Jerusalem over all Israel was 40 years. And we are told Solomon slept with his fathers. He was buried in the city of David, his father. And Rehoboam, his son, reigned in his stead. Now, Solomon is a very colorful ruler in the sense that he accumulated so much of this world's goods. Everything denoted wealth. Everything denoted affluence. Everything denoted that there was prosperity in the kingdom. And our Lord refers to the glory that was Solomon's. And there was that earthly glory in his kingdom.